At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey, welcome to the show. Feeling good with Duddy. That's me. Let's go.
Duddy B.
What's happening? That's right. We are back with another episode of Feeling Good with Duddy. Very excited to be here today. We've got some fun stuff. We've got some great guests. We've got Dan Jacobs from Atreyu. We've got Mike Strickland, who started the company Plugins, that is now one of our new sponsors. We will get to them in a minute. But first off, a little DH news. Today, this week is a streaming week. We are streaming album number 4. That is Sound of Change. We're very excited about it. We did Phantoms of Summer last week, and it went over well. It seemed like people really enjoyed it, so we're excited to get to another one this week. And yes, new music is coming. I do believe we're going to be dropping a new single mid-July.
Okay.
Is the date we're aiming for.
A few weeks.
New single's going to be dropping, and then we do have a whole new album that is done and ready to go out. So no date set on the full album release, but it is coming, and we're excited. I think you guys are going to enjoy it.
It's kind of crazy when I think about everything you're saying now, because we've been in quarantine. The world was changed. It was a weird time. But you guys managed to somehow put a concert series together online, and you're dropping an album. Not bad. You actually made pretty damn good use of this downtime.
Well, I think, you know, me and the rest of the guys, I think I could speak for them, is it's hard for us to just do nothing for too long. Like the first 2 or 3 weeks, you know, it was like, ooh, this is nice. This is different. Mm-hmm. You know, I get to just stay home. I don't have any shows in the near future. Kind of fun, kind of weird. And then like 2 or 3 weeks in, like I said, it was like, all right, what are we doing?
Yeah,
I got to do something. I'm bored. But, you know, we're lucky that we all live pretty close to each other, and we have, you know, we have a nice place that we could run the shows from, and, you know, we've been having a good time with it. So
you guys have been killing it. So, so show week. So obviously Dirty Heads are busy. You guys are going to be practicing your asses off. So we're in here. We just did the Monday morning show for Patreon, and now we're here. We've got guests, and we've got a crazy story involving your cat. But before that, it's almost 4th of July.
Ooh,
so
yes.
It's almost time to raffle off the beautiful guitar, which is not in reach for you right now, so you don't have to grab it. But on our Patreon page, everybody knows we're raffling off a Ernie Ball Cutlass model guitar. It's the same exact model that Duddy plays on stage. We have it right here with us. And so for the 4th of July, you'll be picking a winner from one of our Patreon members. There's only 190. Oh, you're going to grab the guitar?
Yeah.
All right. Duddy's grabbing the guitar, and he's going to show it.
Like,
so if you want to see it, you can grab it.
It's this
guitar. If you want to see it, if you're listening, go to you can watch the show on YouTube, and you can see the guitar. But there's only 190 Patreon members right now.
Oh.
So you have a 1 in 190 chance to win this guitar.
Thanks.
And if you want to check out that guitar, you can also go to the Ernie Ball whatever website and just look at the Cutlass model. All right, so Duddy, they know about that. Let's get into the cat story and set everybody up, because you've talked about this cat before on the show, and this is a wild story. Set everyone up.
This is crazy, and I'll try to not make this too long, but it's a crazy story. So I've got this cat, right? And I've talked about it before, that it's just a murderous beast. Every morning, most of the mornings I wake up and there's just a dead possum outside, a dead rat, a dead bird. I've found like just a head before, like it just wants to kill.
Well, you told a story on this show, I don't know, 5-6 episodes back, where husband and wife,
yes,
duo had children.
It was obvious that my cat had found a nest of, you know, freshly born possums.
God.
And every night it would go back for another one. And I think it was like 4 out of 5 nights in a row.
Oh my God.
Or horrifying. I would say mornings, 4 out of 5 mornings in a row, we woke up and there was a little tiny baby dead possum right outside our backyard. And I don't know if, I know when possums get older, yeah, they're kind of gnarly looking and gross,
yeah,
but just do yourself a favor and look up a baby possum. Fucking adorable. Weirdly adorable for what they end up looking like. And yeah, so my cat, you know, it was a murderous beast. But what I'm trying to get to is where I live is, you know, only a mile or so from the wetlands. That's just a big nature center. Yeah. I also live like half a mile from a golf course, which I've golfed at many times and seen coyotes there all over. And then my house also backs to a park. And in that park, there's just a bunch of ducks because there's a duck pond and things like that. So these coyotes from the wetlands and the golf courses and things like that, they come to this park at night to feed on these ducks. And it's a known thing in my neighborhood and surrounding neighborhoods just around there that if you have a cat and the cat doesn't come back for a couple days, probably got eaten by a coyote. So one of my cats has not come back for three days. The murder cat is gone. So I think the circle of life has happened.
Yes.
I think, you know, he had his time running around murdering.
A good time.
And then there's always somebody out there bigger and stronger than you. I think this is the lesson. And I think, I think my murderous cat ran into a murderous coyote.
Fuck. That's a heavy thought. Yeah, it's a full circle of life happening.
Yeah.
The animal kingdom, even in the middle of a city, is still a magical place where death just lurks around the corner.
It is.
Death lurks around the corner for all of us, you know, and even in the world. But there's some sort of rules to the society we live in. There's no rules in that animal kingdom.
And it's like, I am obviously super bummed.
Oh,
love the cat. But I get it. I see what happened. And it's just one of those things. And it's not the first time it's happened to us.
Yeah, so, this isn't the first cat that went missing from Duddy's.
This was the second cat we've lost to coyote. And I have another cat. I still have a cat. So I didn't even want cats at first. I'm a dog guy, much more of a dog guy. But I will say my wife convinced me to get the cat, the first one, because my daughter wanted one. So I got the cat, ended up loving the cat. But then we got another cat, moved into this new house, and the cat we had first disappeared. We knew coyote.
Yep.
And ever since that first cat disappeared, the cat I still have today, the one that was there, was different. So I think it saw our first cat get taken.
Yes.
Because it was always all over the place, like running around out front, going in the park, whatever. And then ever since that happened, won't go in the front yard, won't go in the park, and won't stay outside unless our doors are open, like in the backyard. If we close the backyard door, runs to the door, starts crying. So
what once was a wild cat probably witnessed the other cat's murder and is now a full safety cat.
It's again going, really?
Second friend
I'm
that it's
still
lost.
Here, but you know what? The cat learned, and that cat will probably live forever because it knows, don't fuck around.
Are you going to get another cat?
I don't know. Here's the deal with me. I'm pretty easy when it comes to pets and stuff. If my wife or my daughter are like, can we get a kitten? I'll be like, sure, go ahead.
Sure.
I love the animals.
What? Man, 2 years old. I remember seeing Blue is the name of the cat. And I remember seeing Blue when she was just, he was just a little baby. I remember Jack holding little Blue.
Yeah.
2 years, dude, of murdering everything around your entire neighborhood. And now 4 days missing almost. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe next week we'll have some better news for you guys about Blue. But it's
maybe
looking...
I get home from this episode and they're like, Blue's back.
Hey,
I'll update you guys next week.
Stranger things have happened. Well, we've got a conspiracy query. We've got everybody's new favorite, The Song Sucks, coming up. But let's bring in our guests. Dude, we've got our guests sitting here, and we want them to be able to chime in too. So we have Dan Jacobs, guitar player of Atreyu. We've got Mike Strickland from Jack Racks, basically our new sponsor, dude. You guys saw it. We ran a contest for it, and there's a connection between everybody, Duddy and Dan and Mike, and they're all here for a reason. So welcome to the show, boys.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. All right. We're all in now. The whole crew's here.
Sorry for my long-winded cat story.
No worries.
Yeah.
I'm just imagining a coyote coming to your door. Like your cat brings us a dead coyote to the door.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's what I thought was going on.
Oh, that is the killer cat.
Crazy. Just ahead of a coyote.
Yeah. That would be the M. Night Shyamalan twist where you're like, oh no. And then all of a sudden there's a dead coyote and your cat is still
alive. My cat's like, dude, it brought me to its lair.
Got a little scar across his eye.
He left me in his lair. Thought I was dead.
For the next several
Waited
days.
Until he was just sleeping.
Oh my God.
Clawed his eyes out.
Yeah, ate my way out of its belly.
That's what I was thinking, dude.
Ate him from the inside.
May I have some fancy
feast. Yeah. An eye patch on the cat somehow.
I've seen some things.
Blue. Sure. Holy shit.
Poor Blue. Crazy how... I'll just give a quick little background on how I even met these guys is our company Cutlass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had to go through some changes, as I'm sure a lot of, you know, small companies did with, you know, the coronavirus and everything that happened.
Yeah. This is your clothing line, Duddy's
so we,
clothing.
Yeah, we had to figure some things out. We got rid of our own warehouse and we started trying to, you know, make our overhead a little lower. And we met, Dean, my partner, met Mike. I don't even know exactly how you guys came into contact, but
Dean knows everybody on Earth.
Dean is one of those guys that knows somebody.
Yeah, so all your tour merch came back to our warehouse.
That's
your,
right.
Rome and Duddy stuff. And I guess you had Cutlass on tour with you.
Yes.
Selling merch. So
that's right.
One of our clients, the Merch Collective, they had it all sent over to us because we do fulfillment for them. And Cutlass came along with it. So they sent Dean over to come pick it up. And Dean was like looking around. He's like, what do you guys do here? And he saw like we were a full print shop and everything. So he's like, maybe I should just leave it here. Well, I mean, he ended up taking it that day, yeah. But I guess he wanted to talk to you and figure out the game plan. And yeah. It ended up working out that you guys just brought everything back and we ran your store and did all your shipping.
Yep.
So.
So yeah. So Mike and Rock Merch. And what's the Rock?
Rock World Merch.
Rock World Merch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now Cutlass lives over there with them. They do all the fulfillment and shipping for us, and it's been working out amazing. And Dan also works with him there, and Dan also works with him on the plugins, keychains, the Jack Rack company that sponsors. So it all just kind of, you know, formed organically.
Yeah.
And when things work out like that, it usually works out well. So I'm stoked. Thank you guys.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you. So yeah, be a part of what you're doing and helping you out.
Oh yeah, man, it's great.
And now you guys are on the show.
It's and like, now you're on the show, yeah.
full deal.
So what's up with you right now, Dan? I know things are weird for most bands. Like, what are you guys doing during these times to try and stay like relevant with your fans, or just keep busy, or what are you guys doing?
A little bit of a combination of things. We actually have a new record that we just finished recording, but it had to be done. And we as of our last record, started doing it like this anyway, so it worked out okay, I guess. But we kind of record our record in two parts. So we'll come in, we'll write, record a bunch of songs, and then go away for a couple months and just sit on them, listen to them, kind of really digest them. And
that's smart.
Get all the stuff where like, man, like I really want to change that part and not being like, oh, the record's done, I can't now. You know, just get to it so we can come back and you know, to those songs later and have fully digested them and change them if we need to or whatever. And then go in with a fresh mindset on the next batch of songs so that they ideally don't sound like the first batch of songs. So it is a little bit refreshing when you mix all the songs together. The collective album is more interesting. It doesn't just sound, I don't know, too much like all the songs sound the same or whatever. Mm-hmm. So we've been working on that, which, like I said, we just finished. We started it last year, at the end of last year, finished it about 2 weeks ago. We went back in finally where it was kind of starting to slow down. We can go in with masks on and stuff, and because we don't want to be around too many people at the time. Aside from that, a lot of it's been just doing like, you know, merchandise sales online. Conveniently, we run our own merchandise company as well as our own fulfillment company. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot more control as far as being able to just talk directly with Atreyu, our band and stuff, and mm-hmm. just push sales and like come up with all these cool ideas and cool concepts so that every week or two, we're always putting out a fresh new batch of something. It stimulates merch sales, which keeps, you know, income coming in for the band, which is obviously huge when you're not playing any shows, and mm-hmm. shows, merchandise sales are the majority of your income, you know?
Totally.
So that's kind of how we've kind of tried to balance things out.
And what a lot of people don't understand too, is sorry to cut you off, but it's, a band is a business.
Yeah.
Just mm-hmm. like any other business, it has to have some sort of income to keep running. It's not just the members of the band. There's employees. It's a company. So it's like, you've got to figure out ways, you know? So sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. So we've just been also learning more about, you know, how to push ourselves more online to get more out of the sales and get more merchandise that the fans do want and are stoked on and stuff. And before, you know, when we're touring a lot, you know, you get so caught up in that and just wanting your show to be the best and everything's just about the touring. You know, we got to get the shows and sell merch there. And our online side of things kind of lacked a little bit because we weren't giving it the love and attention that it needed. And this is kind of giving us that opportunity to do that. And teaming up with Mike, who's been originally helping us out, you know, and us helping him out together with the plugin stuff. We teamed up because of the success of that and started Rock World Fulfillment, which is able to, you know, help the fulfillment, all that stuff. And he's able to help, you know, with like the online stores as well as coming up with ideas and whatnot to help push the merchandise, which is awesome. You know, it's helped grow it a lot.
That's awesome.
It's been like a record year for online
sales. It's been our best year ever of online sales because we had to kind of like drop everything we were doing and be like, all right, we need to focus on this new way of doing things. Yeah. And it's somewhere we were weak before, and it gave us a chance to make it stronger. So then when everything does go back to normal, both our entities are the strongest that they
yeah.
can be.
Yeah.
That's cool. I mean, I've seen a lot of I've seen two different things, I guess. I've seen the people who have taken like this time to like learn something new, grow at something that you said you needed to work on. And actually like, and even us, I mean, we, mm-hmm. we've learned so much during this time because we kind of had to, you know, yeah. like we got to figure out new ways to do this podcast. We had to
We used to do this in a studio. We didn't touch anything. We just walked in, said our words and left. And so Duddy and I took this whole show over because of this coronavirus yep. and he started editing everything. I mean,
even the dirty ads, you know, now we're rehearsing every week for acoustic, you know, live stream sets. It's like, I've seen the people who've taken this as a good to learn something new mm-hmm. and be inspired. And I've seen the other half of people who's like, all I've done is drink and eat all day yep. long. And you know what?
So we do both.
Yeah.
You can do both. That's the fucking point.
Yeah.
But drunk.
Yeah. One thing I've noticed too with, I guess I've noticed it with the music fans and even I guess podcast fans is, our listeners is everyone kind of stepped up and supported the bands that they like or the podcasts that they're into. I've noticed that. So I'm sure Atreyu fans, they're diehard fans. They're kind of like Dirty Head fans. They really love the Dirty Heads. And so I've noticed that people did step up and buy a lot of merch from bands and podcasts. I think to help them out, it seemed like. Yeah. Your guys' fans are generous as shit. Like the Dirty Head fans are some of the most like diehard, loyal, helpful, generous fans. And it seems like if they're like, hey, the band isn't able to tour, they're not yeah. able to make money, like we're going to buy some merch from them or watch their live stream.
Totally.
So it was kind of cool to watch everybody really just support whatever they were into, even when it was a down time.
Nope, definitely.
We got really creative too with the merch stuff. We're doing the quarantine bundles.
Yeah.
It's called the Quarantine Tour for Atreyu. VIP laminate and a cinch bag and coffee mug like and sweats and all
socks
that stuff.
And stuff like
to get you through quarantine.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, that's
and then
cool.
we did an Atreyu Crew shirt that all the money supported the Atreyu Crew.
The crew, yeah.
Oh, perfect.
That's another one, man.
That,
you
we talk
crew,
about that, crew yeah. members, yeah. yeah. yeah.
Which actually, you and I share a common member at times, Mr. Dakota.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
That is yeah. right.
Dakota usually texts for me at this point.
Yeah.
Most stuff.
Dakota knows more about guitars than most people I've met in my entire life, yeah. if not all people I've met.
We call him the guru.
Yeah.
He just knows everything about every guitar ever.
Not only does he know everything about every guitar, he knows every band name and every guy in the band or girl. And he's always like, I got this new guitar from, you know, Bert Sangre. He plays for that band, Caribbean Cowfart. You're just like, what
the fuck are you?
And then he'll tell you a 37-minute story about it.
Yeah.
And it's like, I am so fucking...
Everybody had that friend. Yeah. Remember friends that could name everyone on TV shows from the 80s? Yeah. They would name like the dad on some, like a third, fourth character on some random show. My buddy Mac, you knew Mac, Duddy. Everyone's got that friend that knows like... background characters' names from Three's Company, like their actual human fucking government name. And I'm like,
boom mic operator.
Number two was. Yeah, exactly, dude. Larry Hank, one of the best boom operators.
What? Did you know he went to USC?
Yeah, absolute film grad.
Our other guitar player, Travis, is like that with like, oh, like, you know, who produced this movie in 1987? He's like, oh, it's this person, blah, 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 blah. Yep. Like, how do you know that? Why do you know that?
Yeah.
Why do you even care about that information?
That's a crazy, I guess it's a skill because I mean, Matt's like that. Our drummer, Matt, we found out he's like that with 90s, any music that came out in the 90s.
Oh yeah. He's big in the
90s. He knows every band, every band member's name, every lyric, and probably how to play it on guitar.
That was his zone when he was just digesting music at full steam and
obsessing
over bands.
I think he played in some cover bands during that time too. So you're just learning every song and it's pretty funny.
When trivia games come out, dude, those are fucking fun things to have. But shit, Duddy, I think you have one, right?
Oh, I do.
Do I even need to say what it is? When people hear me say, I think you have one, they know what's coming.
I have
coming.
A pretty good one right here.
The world is weird, and it's filled with weird things.
Okay, so I'm not saying that I came up with this.
What are you even talking
about? I'm not saying that I do or do not believe this.
So this is something you believe in wholeheartedly.
No, I'm just saying I read this.
What'd you read?
I got this information online.
You said it and wrote it online and read your own writing.
From Vulture.com. Okay. Everyone knows, only speaks the truth.
Vulture.com, accredited, trusted.
Got it off of Google.
What are we even talking about, though? Nobody
so,
knows.
So, all I want to know is, do you believe in conspiracy queries? Okay, this one says that Katy Perry is actually a grown-up JonBenet Ramsey.
Oh, yeah. Of course she is.
Hear me out. The bizarre idea was birthed in a YouTube video from a guy named Dave Johnson. Everyone knows like Dave Johnson's credible.
Hi, how are you? Dave Johnson. Good to meet you. Johnson, Dave, how are you?
He says Ramsey's parents sacrificed the young beauty queen so that she could be famous later in life. Then he proves his point with photos, purportedly showing that Ramsey's parents are the same people pretending to be the parents of Katy Perry character. He also blends pictures of the young Ramsey into pictures of grown-up Perry, arguing that their features line up perfectly.
I love everything about this. I believe it. I'm sure it's true. I have one little snag. Wait, so her parents sacrificed her?
I don't know.
So that she could be famous later on in life?
I don't think they mean sacrifice as in kill. I mean like kind of like gave her
to some hooded devil-like character, obviously, at the end of a dark highway in the mid. Yeah. No, it all makes perfect sense, and I love it, and it's true.
Yeah.
I'm sure. So, well.
So what do you think?
I mean, it makes sense because why else would Katy Perry be famous at all? Well, there's two. Think about it. I guess there's two big reasons.
That's the bigger thing. Yeah. How did she get so
Yeah. Because she just looks confused at all times. And I don't think she's ugly. And I love her boobs. She's great with all of that. I like her face, but she definitely looks like a raccoon. If you like open the trash can real fast and the raccoon's like, looks at you like, oh shit, a human. That's her face always. And I like her face.
Scary Perry.
Scary Perry. Is that a thing?
It is now.
Oh my God. That's perfect.
Scary Perry.
Because she always just looks surprised as fuck at all times.
All right.
Yeah, so that makes sense. She saw the devil at a young age. That's
Do
why
you have any songs of hers you'd like to break down?
No, because nothing she's written has like devastated me to the point where it needs to be a this song sucks entry yet. So no, I still just.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, what do you guys think about this?
I said we got to check the Adam's apple. You know, let's go straight to the source. You know, like how bubbly of an Adam's apple does she?
Are we saying she's a dude now?
Is that what we're going with? Oh, Ramsey's a female.
Because it's JonBenet, right?
I told Duddy,
I go John, but it's a little girl.
It's spelled JON.
It's a little girl.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the JonBenet Ramsey case?
Yeah, because she got murdered.
Yeah,
yeah. Well,
it's
never really found.
Case.
Yeah. I could be wrong, and just like most things I do on the show, zero research has been
done. Oh, we do zero. No,
I don't know
research.
Any facts.
Yeah. Sounds like a lot of work.
But I believe that they never really found her body.
Yeah. So it's Katy Perry.
Correct.
Yeah. I mean,
who got a sex change? Adam's apple now.
Nice.
Or I think they did find the body.
Like, I don't know. We should have definitely looked into it, and we didn't.
Yeah.
Let's say that they didn't find the body, and we'll just say that that's the facts, and then we're going to go with that, and we're going to move
forward. Well, you know what? I hope it is true, because then that means that she didn't die.
It did.
That would be sad, because, you know, it's not fun when little girls die.
No, that's a terrible thing when little girls die. Come on now. That's horrifying. So but is it also as horrifying to grow up and be Katy Perry? I'm just kidding, Katy. You seem lovely. She played at the Super Bowl. I actually have no issue with Katy Perry. She seems lovely to me. I mean, her and Russell Brand didn't work out, but I'm sure she's just a joy to be around. She was great on the Super Bowl on top of that big mechanical. What was it, Gentle Giant? She rode on a big mechanical something at the Super Bowl. Was it a tiger?
Lion, maybe?
I'm a lion, a fucking tiger. Is that her song? You're gonna hear me roar. I like that song.
It's gotta be that.
Yeah. So there we go, Katy Perry. So the good thing about you.
A liger.
I have not a liger.
Yeah. A wild video.
She's a liger. Speaking of liger, Duddy came up with last week on the show, we were saying, we did a humanzee was our conspiracy theory, a human and a chimpanzee, and he came up with a pretty funny.
It was the boidelneck dolphin.
A boidelneck dolphin.
A boy and a dolphin.
Bottlenose dolphin.
I realized later that I got it wrong. Because I was saying boidelneck dolphin, but it's the boidelnose.
Oh, son of a bitch,
boidelnose dolphin. I did realize that later. I was like.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we brought it back up. Then anyway, Katy Perry got a little bit slammed there, but then we told her about her great song, Tiger Lion.
That's all right. So, you know, I just wanted, you know, so I'm just asking you guys, do you believe that Katy Perry is jumping there, Ramsey?
Yep.
I think there's a strong possibility.
Yeah.
She did all of a sudden just like pop up. Like mm-hmm. no one had ever heard of her. All of a sudden she was on Warped Tour in like 2005 or yeah. six. She was just there all of a sudden.
She's nobody. And then she kisses a girl. And we all know.
That doesn't seem like a tour for you, Katy Perry, Ramsey, or whoever you are.
I didn't even know. Was Katy?
Yeah.
What was she doing on Warped Tour?
She was, well,
that I Kissed a Girl song. Got her on there.
She was doing that.
She was used to be dating.
She was dating the gym class hero, Travie McCoy.
She was in their first video, whatever, their first major video. The one that they did with Boy, Patrick.
So I'm guessing that what Gym Class was probably on the tour. So he was like, "Yo, bring my girl Katy."
Something like that. Yeah,
she and was he was doing right.
She was doing the Shira Girl stage or whatever it's called. One of those things.
Mm. Okay,
something like that.
Yeah, and I didn't mind that song either when I first heard it. So Katie's cool in my book. You've escaped the rattle of the snake as of yet. But maybe, I don't know. I don't know a lot of her catalog. I just remember, Duddy, your daughter was a big Katy Perry fan. Remember? The, what was it?
Fireworks song. She loved that song.
Oh, yeah. So I can't hate on Katy.
Nah.
She's got some epic jams.
She's got some big time jams.
She's got some bulks.
Yeah.
Is that what you call them?
Bulks.
She's got some bulks.
She got some bulks.
She's got some bulks on her, dude. That's what we say in the industry. She's got some bulks.
All right. So what about people who don't necessarily have your favorite Volk shit?
All right, here we go. Dude, this leads us perfectly into everybody's new favorite segment. Oh, the masses are just adoring it. We had a couple people that weren't fans of it. They said that I went a little dark last week when I beat up old Bruno Mars. But he's fine, dude. He's swimming in Scrooge McDuck-like pools of money, spitting out coins. He's never going to hear what I said. And his songs suck. But that brings us to our new favorite segment. This song sucks. Duddy, new drop.
This song suckity-doo.
Ah, hope you guys like that new drop. Now, let me set it up, you guys. I used to be in a band. I used to write songs. I've written a lot of songs that suck really bad. So I think I'm very qualified to call out a shitty song when I see it. This next song comes from a gentleman that I had to look his name up. I didn't even know who this asshat was. But once again, I'll set the scene. This was a little over a year ago. My wife's pregnant. I'm spending a lot of time in the doctor's room, in the doctor's waiting room area, and I'm being forced to listen to these just ballless jams ad nauseum, 10 songs playing on a loop. The Bruno Mars songs came from that time in my life, and this next song really, really pissed me off. This is from a guy named Charlie Puth, P-U-T-H. His last name sucks, okay? The song is One Call Away. You guys know the song? If you don't, let me sing it to you. And this is gonna voice of an angel. Get ready, everyone. I'm only one call away. I'll be there to save your day. He's gonna save your day. Here's where he pisses me right off. Superman ain't got nothing on me. Excuse me? And then he wraps it up with, I'm only one call away. Let's go over this. Charlie Puth has just announced to the world that Superman has nothing on him in the same sentence as he asks you to make a cell phone call for him to come save your day. Guess what Superman doesn't need, guys? A fucking cell plan. He thinks Lois is in trouble. Flam! He's there. He flies at a million miles an hour. What if you don't have cell service, Charlie? What is her call going to do? What if you're on the other line? You have it on vibrate. Your phone ran out of batteries. I've just poked 1,000 holes in your song. Superman has nothing on you. You arrogant fuck. He's a god. He's an alien from another planet. He flies. Laser beams from his eyes. Strength of 1,000 men. Saved the Earth numerous times. And I haven't even got to the best part. Have you seen him with Lois, guys? Is there anyone sweeter, more romantic? If I had a daughter, I would pray to God that she dated Superman. Probably the nicest guy I've ever seen. Charlie Puth.
I think he's the second nicest guy.
Who's nicer?
Well, apparently Charlie Puth.
Oh, so you're taking his side. You think Superman doesn't have anything on him. He's one call away, Duddy. He's got a fucking Motorola flip phone. He's in the forest. He's got one bar. You're telling me that you'd rather have your daughter's life is on the...
I mean, he's singing it. It must be true, right?
What if he means Superman has nothing on me as far as vocals? Maybe other than kryptonite, Superman's other weakness is he cannot sing for the life of him. He can't hold a note.
I fucking love that.
Can't hold a note. But Charlie Puth is like, Superman ain't got nothing on me, man. I can't fly, but I can sing like a motherfucker.
God damn it. You make a really great soup. You make a super point.
What if Superman just has zero rhythm?
Yeah.
Fine, I'd still, here's the thing. He'll be there to save your day with what? An acoustic guitar and a melody? What if there's real danger that she's in? Charlie,
I'll sing.
What are you going to do? If he shows up and sings this song, I'm going to leave the fucking scene immediately. So maybe that will. But maybe she will be better off. I just thought the audacity of this prick. Superman ain't got nothing. I think he's got a few things on you, Charlie. Nothing.
Tinger two.
Nothing.
Second that he can be like, yo, you want to go for a little stroll in the clouds real quick?
Yeah, well, anything.
You're like, any girl will be like, oh my God.
Have you ever been to Morocco? I've never possibly. Flam, we're in Morocco, you know, like above Morocco. Just see,
that soup's a little cold.
Exactly.
You know, come on.
Fucking hell. Now you're starting to understand my fury and my rage. And look, you hear the song once or twice, you're in the fucking of a man and God. And then once you hear it 57 times, I'm forced to deal with the lyrics. And I can't. And I shan't. And I won't. This song sucks.
This song suckity doo.
Okay.
Any final words, guys? I mean, if you want to stand up for Charlie, you've never heard that song?
I've never heard the song.
Oh, you're a lucky man.
Is it a new song or it's been around?
I've heard it before.
You have.
I thought it was Ed Sheeran. I always thought it was him.
Dude, so did I. It seems like it would be the Ed Sheeran guy.
Yeah.
Who tried to come on to my Game of Thrones show and take a dump on that like he does on the airwaves every time I hear him. Ed Sheeran. Yeah, I really have it out for all the top people. And it's just jealousy. I wish I was there. But I'm glad to be able to bring it to the airwaves with you guys. So I thought it was Ed Sheeran too. It's not. It's Charlie Puth. That's a horrifying.
I want you to do me just a quick little favor, okay?
Yeah.
I want you to stick your tongue out. I want you to hold your tongue. Stick your tongue out, hold your tongue.
I don't even want to do that. Why?
Stick your tongue out, hold your tongue. You don't remember this game?
Wait, no, I don't.
Just do it. Just play this game with me.
I feel like I'm going to do this and you're going to slap
gonna
me in the dick.
It's going to, I'm not going to touch your, and I won't even touch you. Okay. I promise. Say puss.
Puff. Oh, you're right. I'm so glad you did that.
Okay.
Yeah, dude, I think his name is actually P-U-S-S, he's Puff, and they're like, all right, P-U-T-F.
Maybe he's got a lisp, and that's kind of his, like,
dude, it is.
All right, I'm only one cough away.
Well, you know what I have to say?
Oh, boy,
sorry,
oh, boy.
Sorry, Charlie.
Oh, wow, Duddy. Good one, Duddy.
Where are we at here?
Well, since we're making everyone feel good and it's a positive show and it's a beautiful thing, we're going to ride on up to the tip of the day. This is where we bring this show into a much happier zone. We stop talking about songs that are horrifying and suck, and we start talking about beautiful things that you can plug into your life today to feel better. And Dan, you have a little tip of the day, something that you do that you can share with our listeners to make them smile. Yeah.
It's a little quote I came up with a while ago, actually, for this cannabis company that was looking for a positive quote to put on their stuff. And I came up with, life is only as good as you feel. And it's a pretty black and white statement, but it's one of those things where you realize if you're, you know, like if you don't feel good, whether it be you're sick or you're just, you know, you're not having a good time, whatever it is, then life sucks, you know, no matter what the situation is, you know. And if you're feeling good, no matter what scenario in, then life's good, you know. So it's like I said, it's pretty black and white, you know, but life is only as good as you feel, you know. Dude. So
and you're
feel
on good. Feeling good with Duddy. Yeah.
So
it
just
seems
try to
make
feel
perfect
good
sense
all the time.
I love that.
And it is a perfect quote for a cannabis company because you smoke pot, you feel good.
Life's only as good as you feel.
I love
so,
it.
I mean, you smoke that good cannabis, you know, you feel good. Life's good.
And everyone knows there's things out there you do and you always regret doing it afterwards and it makes you feel bad. But then there's always things that you can do. Say you go, you work out. You didn't really want to, but you went and did that workout and you're going to feel better, right?
Yeah.
So I love that quote. Jake, you thought I was going
to. I thought you were doing that.
You were already
I was getting antsy. What? Oh. You tricked me. No, but I do. I love that because, yeah. And everyone who's listening right now, I say this is what you do. If you smoke, take a rip right now, and then you will instantly feel better.
Yeah.
That's what the tip of the day is for, right, Duddy?
Yeah. I love it. Now I'm all thrown off. I didn't segue where I should have segued.
Duddy is a long-winded segwayer, and he was definitely setting up a fucking segue. Now you have to set it all the way up again, dude.
Well, I was mid-setting up my segue, and I looked over, and Jake's over here chuckling like a little third grader when he knows his friend's about to, like, you know, bust a prank out or something. And it got me thinking, and I was like, ooh, I'm not going to segue now because I'm going to trick him.
M. Night.
And then, you know, when you, yeah, it didn't work out. But it doesn't matter because I still feel good, Jake. And on this podcast, we have a couple sponsors that make us feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and Koi CBD. They've been with us since day one. We love this company. We love this product. I take it every single day. You know my routine. I grab my bottle, 1,500 milligram. It's a big bottle. I put a spray topper on it, and I just... until my finger cramps. I hit it so many times, and I just, and then right when I let that sit for 20 seconds.
I've seen him switch fingers.
Yeah, and then I swallow it down, and before it even gets down my throat, I grab the inhaler and just empty the entire 1,000 milligram chamber. But no, but really, I don't recommend that. I don't recommend doing that. You might get a tum-tum ache. But really, I love this product. If you are someone out there who uses over-the-counter pain meds all the time, if you got achy joints and bones and whatnot, give CBD a try. I think you're going to really enjoy how it works, how it makes you feel. It's much healthier for you. So go to koicbd.com, put in code DuddyB at checkout, and you get 20% off your order.
Off your first order.
That is
right.
We've
been doing a lot of just 20% off everything. And then we realize, oh, shit. That word first
kind
of means a lot in this one.
Yeah.
You get 20% off your first order.
You get 20% off your first order with them. But you're going to enjoy it so much that you're going to order it more and more. It don't matter. Please. You get
We're
it. You
continue
love
it. You feel great.
And then also, plugins, keychains, the jack rack. You guys, we talked about this on the last episode. Was our first time. And we actually have Mike and Dan here today. Anything you guys want to talk about this? Or you want me to just plug it out?
Wait,
Mike. Do your thing, Duddy.
Okay.
Do you have that prototype too?
Okay, this is cool.
I kind of want him to show this.
Yeah, but honestly, the funny thing about this is before I met Mike or before any of they were a sponsor or whatnot, my wife actually got me one of these like 2 years
ago. I believe
it was like Father's Day or whatever it was. And I've been using this for 2 years. We love it. And I've had so many people that have come over to my house. They're like, oh my God, that's so rad. I get so many compliments. This thing is so rad. I mean, it's, you know, like a guitar cable. It's a 1/4-inch guitar cable, the end of it. It's on a keychain. You hook your keys to it, and then it's a little head of an amp. You know, you can put it anywhere you want in your house.
Front door.
And you just plug your keys in when you get home, and you unplug them when you're on your way out. You never misplace them. It's great.
It's great. And it's funny that you've had that for a couple years at your house. We've talked about it before because it is a cool, interesting thing. And then you just happen to meet the creators and now you're working with them and everything.
Well, Dean's one. He called me. He's like, yeah, actually, you know, the guy Mike I met too, he started this company and he started explaining it to me. I was like, dude, I have one of those. I have one. It's awesome.
He kept explaining it anyway. Yeah, you just plug it in, dude. He's like, no, I have one. He's like, yeah, it looks exactly like an amp. And I have the exact on my...
Dude, no, but you should check it out. Dude, I have one.
You're texting him pictures of one. He's still, that's just like that, but different. No, that's... All right, anyway, I don't know why we roasted Dean for no reason.
Do you have the older version? Like that wasn't like real amp materials and it was just a sticker? Or did you get this
guy? No, I believe I...
Yeah, this is... Probably 2 years old now.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the one I have right there.
Get up to the mic.
But it's cool. Mike actually has here. He brought with him the prototype, the first one he made. And actually, I'm going to do a little zoom.
Yeah, do a little zoom in. So if you guys are just listening, if you want to see this prototype, go to the YouTube page. You can watch the video on there. Duddy's zooming in on it. But it's such a cool product. And, we've posted it on our Instagram too. You can see it there. But the prototype is funny because it's just a sticker. Like, it looks like an amp. You can see where it started to where it is. So Mike, maybe just tell us thought of it or how it all kind of happened.
Yeah, I'll tell you the short version. So I started off making these keychains just individually and like branding it with different band logos and letting them sell them
And the key change is like my OCD came to quarter inch cable plug.
My OCD came into play to as a way to hang this. So I got a piece of metal and went to a machine shop and just had them carve out this design. Like we did like a drawing of this design here. And then I ended up putting it on Reddit just to show off like my idea, and ended up going super viral. And everybody's like, where can I buy this? So I did a Kickstarter campaign, and in 30 days I raised $10,000. So that funded doing it out of plastic, because metal would be like $80 a unit or something. You know? Oh, so we did it out of plastic. Yeah. And that went crazy. Put online, and it went on Reddit again. And then it was just selling like hundreds and hundreds a day. And I was just doing this out of my house. So that's when I hit up Dan and Joe, who owned a merch company. And I ended up moving everything over there. And we brought in like a production team. Just we're hand making these things, like putting them all together ourselves and slapping stickers on. And
is this what the first batch looked like then? Kind of?
Yeah,
what
just a plastic version. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just stickers. And we're like hand cutting stickers out, just trying to keep up with orders.
That's awesome.
And like then, a band with their first demos just on the floor, putting them together. That's awesome.
Just kept going and going and going. So then that's when we outsourced and found a factory in China and redid it to be more like this version here without the ears on the side. Mm-hmm. It was still a sticker. And then we just kept honing in and updating. This is our current version now, where we're using real, using real materials. And we teamed up with Marshall and Fender, and we've done some for bands. And it's just been going super hard ever since.
When you finally like team up with Marshall and Fender, and then you can do exact like replicas of their amps. So these are the amps that everyone's got. Everyone's playing on these amps, and it's just perfect. If you're playing on a Marshall or a Fender anyway, how cool is that? Put one at your door. I don't know. It's one of those simple genius things where you see it and you go, oh, of course. Why the fuck didn't I think of it? It's so perfect. You know,
gift for anybody who plays guitar or who's just a music fan, period. It really is. Like,
no one's going to be bummed when they get it. It's perfect. No. And you get like four keychains with it, right? So it's like if you have a family, bam, there you go.
Like everyone's I have one at my house. I get compliments on it all the time from people that come over. And we did, I believe, one post last week, our first one from them being our new sponsor. And the whole comment thing was just people going, oh my God, this thing is so amazing. I need one. So it's a fucking great idea.
And Duddy and I figured too, because there's a little quarter inch cable. That's what the keychain is. So anyone who sees that plays music is going to know that's a guitar cable plug-in. And so you're at the bar, someone throws down their keys on the bar, because everyone does that, right? Takes their keys out of their pocket, throws them on the bar. Of course, everyone does. And then you see their keys and you get to look at them and you go, do you play? And then they get to say, because they have this keychain, they get to say back to you,
I dabble.
And there's not much cooler than that.
And then they buy your drinks.
And then they're buying your drinks. You guys are best friends. You start a band. And that becomes Van Halen.
Make sweet love to
him. Yes, you go home. You make sweet love to him or JonBenet Ramsey.
Not even gay.
We're not sure.
We both play. We dabble.
You want to play with each other?
And then you're in the Smiths. It's like that's the next logical step.
You want to be my boyfriend? What'd you say? Oh, you want to start a band? I said, you want to start a band?
Same thing.
You go to plugins, keychains.
Okay. Plural.
Yeah, plural. We fucked this up. Let the pro do it.
No, I got this.
You got this, Daddy?
Plugins, keychains, plural, but that plugins is with a Z.com, and you put in
You're good.
Okay.
Yeah, if you put in code DuddyB at checkout, you're going to get 20% off your order. And
every time.
Look at that. I looked at you
not
first.
Not even the first time. Every time. So that's plugins, keychains. Plugins is with a Z, .com. Put in code DuddyB at checkout. 20% off your order. Every time.
Every time.
You heard it here.
The link will be below as well.
We'll have the link in the.
But yeah. In case it's not, Duddy really did a great job there. Want to say it again?
No, I think we got
it. Yeah, you nailed it. All right, cool.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
So that's perfect.
You want to say something?
when he was pointing it for a second there, I thought it was like almost like the bouncing ball is going to be going. Like he was doing like the bouncing ball on the words.
Oh, he's like,
and plugins, the jack rack.
When is that going to come back? Remember that when we were kids? Like, I'm 40. Duddy and I are, I don't know how old you guys are.
I'm 38. And
so you're in our zone. You and Duddy are the same age.
I'm 38 as well, yeah.
So you guys remember like the commercials of the 80s and 90s. There was a lot of that bouncing ball on the words at the bottom. Like they didn't want you to miss a thing.
Do you think maybe just because that was like the new cool thing then? Like they just got that technology. Yeah. Yo, I can bounce this ball on these words.
When you sing along and it bounces along with it or whatever.
Some of the kids today that are listening to us that are younger, you might not know. Yeah, there used to be a time when the commercial would just any dumb commercial, 1-800 fucking have a couch, you know, stuff. And it would just be a little bouncing ball on a 1-800 fucking have, you know, and you're just like, yeah, I want to have a couch, you know.
Yeah, I had this weird this idea to like to do like a short skit or something like that where it's about the life of the bouncing ball, and it's like the bouncing ball is doing this thing and it's like cut and the bouncing ball has to come down. It's like, oh, I guess I have a cigarette or whatever.
My guys, this
family of bouncing ball family or whatever that they all live this weird life.
Oh my god!
You can they talk to each other? Do they have their own bouncing ball? That like,
It's like Inception or something. It just keeps going.
It went dark
deeper.
You made me think of he's got the cigarette. He's like, oh, and then he rolls home and just kind of like backhands his ball in front of the children. Yeah. And gets his balls around. Uh-huh. Yeah. But then you see him through the window. He's like cuddling the wife later. I'm sorry, honey. And she's like, yeah, that's a beautiful tale. I like that.
There's a lot.
Sounds like Pixar could be interested with the wife.
You guys have the power to bring it back for a music video. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dirty Heads music video with a bouncing ball.
There you go. Or a Treyu. Hey, either way.
Yeah, could be a vibe.
The ball bounces off the end of the Dirty Heads video and lands in the Treyu video.
Where's this ball going to land next?
All right, maybe
balls across the universe.
We got to get in the studio. We got to write this song together. Collab track.
Clap track.
Call it. What do we? I mean,
call it when the
balls.
When the director yells cut. And it's just a fucking horrifying, sad tale.
Behind the bounce.
Yeah. Oh my god! Poor little ball. It's gonna roll downhill throughout this tale. Yeah. All right, dude. Have we beat it up enough? Like the ball's wife. Okay, I keep bringing that back up.
We did the sponsor
Scary Zone.
Scary Zone.
Duddy, we haven't had a Scary Zone in a while because we haven't had guests in a minute.
We haven't had guests,
never mind. Fucking chuck me. Yeah.
So, just not do you guys both or do one of you have a time where maybe you think you saw a ghost or an alien or anything scary that may have happened?
I had some weird stuff that happened. This happened at my condo I was living at the time. It's probably like 5 years ago, something like that, right? So my grandmother had just passed away, like just a little bit before that, within like a few months. And she bequeathed some of her stuff to me. So I have some of her belongings in my house. And the first thing I noticed is that the way my place was laid out, like if you walked in the front door, there were stairs right in front of you. And to the left was like the living room area where I'd sit and like watch TV. The first time I noticed, I was sitting on the couch watching TV, and out of the corner of my eye, it was like almost I saw like this kind of like shadow like moving down the stairs. And of course, I kind of like look over and it's gone. I was like, what the hell is that? Like, it was kind of a weird thing. And, a week or two later, I kind of noticed the same thing again. I was like, what the hell is going on? So I brought it up to my girlfriend at the time that was living with me. I was like, hey, like, this is going to sound kind of crazy, but like one time I first noticed this, I was sitting on my couch and I saw this thing come down the stairs. Like, have you seen it? And like, before I could even finish what I was saying, she's like a black, like blur coming down the stairs. Right. I'm like, so you've seen this too? She's like, yeah. I'm like, oh my God, what? So what is this thing? And that was the first thing about it. The other thing was, we have like a stainless steel, whatever, like fridge, you know, like the kind of metal front fridge. And, they're not really, they're not the easiest things to kind of smudge or make dirty or whatever. And I had been gone and I came back for the day or whatever. And my girlfriend had like cleaned the fridge just before. And I'm coming in there and I'm doing whatever, you know, around the house. And she comes to me and she's like, yo, Dan, like, what the hell? Like, I just cleaned the fridge. Why are there like fingerprints on the fridge? I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, the fingerprints were like on the outside of the fridge in like a low, like right hand corner side, like somewhere you would never touch the fridge.
Why would you grab there?
There's no reason to grab there, you know? And you look and it's literally look like a small hand about the size of my grandmother's. It kind of like dragged across it. And like my grandmother was very OCD about cleaning stuff. I don't know if she just didn't like my girlfriend or there's some weird stuff, but it was like, I tried to replicate. I even went up there and tried to drag my hand to see if like oils on your hand would come off on it or something. Nothing. I have no idea how this mark got there, how it was in the shape of this hand. The whole thing was like super Strange.
That's a fucking creepy one.
I love that.
That's a perfect one.
Yeah.
You're still in this house?
No, I just moved like about 9 months ago out of it.
Did you have to tell the people that moved in?
No, I just let them freaking stuff. It's already up for sale again, though, so maybe they...
Wow.
Damn. With less than a year, so I don't know.
Get out of here.
Yeah, did you leave something of your grandma's? Like, did you, like, put it in the basement or leave it in the attic?
Yeah, just like, they're going to love this. Yeah, lock of her pubes or something like that. I was going to save these for something else.
How do you waste it in the first place?
What do you mean? You don't get pubes from your grandma? What are you talking about?
Everyone knows there's nothing more haunted than grandma pubes.
I will. I'm just going to leave you a house like, I just want her pubes.
Just want the pubes, man. You know which ones.
Haunted house out there.
I leave to you 60% of my pubes.
Where'd the rest go?
I want sprinkled in the ocean.
Yeah. Sprinkle my pubes off a boat.
Oh, that's good.
Beautiful one. You have anything, Mike? Anything scary? I mean, it's hard. I know it's hard. That's a good one.
I remember once in high school, I was talking with my buddy. I had my phone. You know, like the old, this is like over 20 years ago. You know, we had the phones with the push buttons, Nokias. And we're talking about religion. And I have my phone on my lap. And then I hear it ringing. I figure we're just, you know, talking religious stuff. And I look at my phone and the number 666 was dialed and called. And I don't know how those numbers were pressed when it was like literally just sitting on my lap like that.
Wow.
I thought that was
insane. Dude, that was the devil saying, hey.
We were like, what the fuck?
You want to talk about religion?
Yeah.
Give me a call.
That's a movie right there.
Like, I like to think
you look at your phone and it's calling 666. And that means you're fucked.
And it's all, hello?
And you pick up and it goes, yeah, it is. Yes. And then you're dead in 3 days.
Would you like to be as famous as Katy Perry?
Dude, a scaries. I love the scaries.
Scary zones are always my favorite.
Oh, Duddy will put a nice bed of scary music behind it to add some. Oh, it's going to be a beautiful thing. Well, let's roll right into this next one because we did ask Dan earlier if he had any poop stories. And like most people who have great shit stories on this show, as soon as we ask them, they go, oh, I've got so many of them. How many do you want? And we're like, all right, he's going to be great. So we still got the Poopersville drop, right? Did we re-record that one or did we not? Should we just do it now?
I'll make a drop.
You'll make a drop? All right, drop the Poopersville drop. And then you ready to tell us some poop stories? You pooped your pants?
Yeah, this is quite a story. So this is about 2003, somewhere around there. I think I was like 20 years old at the time, 2002, 2003. We're on tour with Lamb of God, this, you know, kind of brutal metal band, a band called Chimera and a band called 18 Visions, who's also from Orange County.
Yep.
So at the time, just before I even say the rest of the story, Lamb of God had this thing called the pink jacket offense. And if you did something on tour where you fucked something up, they would make you wear this like 1990, like neon pink ski jacket that you just look ridiculous in, that you'd have to wear it all day. So people knew you had fucked up and would ask you about it. And then at the end of the day, you had to sign this thing. So we're like, okay, you know, so just leave that out there before I tell the rest of the story. So we're just played a show. And we're heading into Canada and we're in a van still at the time. We just started touring. We're still new to it. So we were in a van at the time. We're heading across into Canada. I'm 20 years old. I'd never been into Canada before at this point. So, you know, everyone been partying and they wanted me to drive, you know? So I'm like, all right. So first thing I do is I get across the border and I go to a Burger King and I eat a fucking whole bunch of food. Now at this time I'm young and dumb and just wild with my body as far as things I'm eating and drinking.
Yeah.
And I'd been partying the whole night before. My stomach was pretty fucked up. I just had a whole bunch of Burger King for breakfast, you know, and I was kind of like, ooh, like my stomach feels a little messed up. Gonna go to the bathroom a little bit, Burger King, get it out. Head on our way. So I go to the bathroom, feel a little bit better, but my stomach still feels very like tight.
You know, you're like, I didn't get it all.
Yeah. It's still just, I felt like this knot in my stomach, you know? So I'm like, whatever. So I get in the van, everybody gets in the van, they start going to bed. I start driving. Now keep in mind at this time, we don't have GPS. This is in early 2000. We were using MapQuest. You print out the directions and shit, you know? So we had that. And as we're driving along, I see Chimera's bus. So I'm like, oh, cool. I'll just follow Chimera's bus. I don't even need these directions. So I'm following them for like, you know, 15 minutes and my stomach starts going, blah, 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 starts making these weird noises. I'm like, oh boy, like, whew. And keep in mind at this time, I'd never shit my pants before. So in my life, other than maybe when I was like a child. So I'm like, I can hold it as long as I want. That's just how life works.
Yeah.
You gotta go, you just hold it. So I'm holding it, you know, and like, you know, it's starting to get worse and worse. And like an hour goes by and I'm like, dude, like, what is going on? Hour and a half goes by. I'm like, when are we getting to this? Like, how far into Canada do we need to go? I'm like dying right now, you know? So finally gets to this point where we're driving by this park and like, I can see out of the corner of my eye, there's a bathroom at this park. And I'm like, oh fuck. And I missed the exit. But my mind is already in like, yo, the bathroom's here mode. I'm like, oh no, no, no. Yep. Like, what am I going to do? So I get to the next exit. Well, likely it wasn't too far. Get off. As soon as I pull over in the parking lot, it's the same parking lot for the bathroom that's down the exit back. That's the closest one. Ooh. I can't hold at this point. So I open the door and I jump out of the van and I stand there and just start fucking unloading mud. Yeah. Just pure mud into my pants. Like, uncontrolled. Like, my butthole lost control. Like I couldn't, it was like flexing a muscle, then you just couldn't hold on any longer. My body just gave up. I'd flexed the muscle for too long. I'm just unloading uncontrollably. Like it wasn't like some got out and then I hit pause. The pause button had been broken. I was like, pause button, like alert, you know, eject, couldn't stop it.
Like throw away everything you're wearing.
Everything. I just filling up my, not just filling up my shoes, my pants are filling up. I'm a short guy and I don't have very long legs. So I don't have much room in my pants. So everybody starts waking up because they're like, you know, when you stop driving, you know, everyone's waking up and they're like, what's going on? And I'm like petrified, looking like the deer in the headlights, hanging onto the side of the van, like looking at them. And they're like, what's going on, dude? And I'm like, I'm shitting my pants. Like, I can't stop. And they're like, what? Stop. You know? So everybody starts laughing at me. I'm like, just stop laughing. Help me. You know? So like, I have to clean myself up. I don't know what to do. It's so bad. Like, I don't know what to do with myself. So I start waddling back towards this bathroom, which is probably like a quarter mile away. I'm like waddling. Oh. There's so much poop.
Just
like,
leaving
just
muddy footprints.
Just so disgusting. I had about halfway there, I turn around, I'm like, can somebody bring me some pants? And they're like, I just keep laughing at me.
Dying.
Don't worry, it gets way worse. So this is just beginning. So then I go into the bathroom, right? It's a public like park bathroom, which you know is already disgusting.
Gross.
So I go into the bend in the stall.
Thin toilet paper.
I wish they had thin toilet paper. I opened it up. There was no toilet paper. So I'm like, oh my God. No, sorry. There was toilet paper. There was no paper towels. There's no paper towels, right? So I go in there. I'm like, oh, like, what am I supposed to do? So I go in the stall. I close the door. I just keep going. Like, I pull my pants down. I'm unloading. Like, I'm like, I don't know how this much feces fits in my body. It's complete mud. There's no solidity to any of it. I look down at my pants. They're just filled. It's like coming out everywhere. Like, I don't know how to clean myself up. So I have to strip down butt naked. I'm taking toilet paper, flushing the toilet so I have fresh water, quote unquote, dipping the toilet paper in the fresh water and wiping myself down with it to get nice and clean. One of my guys brings me a trash bag. Luckily, we had trash bags. I finally get myself cleaned up. They're like choking on the smell when they come in of me like trying to clean myself up. Me being just the cheap ass I was at the time, I kept all of my clothes. Kept them all. Put them in. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's my favorite pair of pants. So I put them back in this trash bag and I saved them in the back of our van. Don't worry, it gets worse. So we drive to the venue. We're on our way there. I'm like, guys, do not tell anybody about this. Like, I am so humiliated. Like, this is like one of the most mortifying experiences in my life. I'm so humiliated. So we get there. As soon as we get to the venue, I get out, I take my stuff and I like run to a laundromat and I'm trying to like wash it. And it was like, the washing process was disgusting. Like, I'd get through the washing process, it almost be done. I'd open it up and there's just like corn floating around. I'm going to need to wash this a couple times.
Muddy water.
It was so gross.
No.
20-year-old me, it was so disgusting. So I come back to the venue and I'm trying to like sneak back in and I come in and like the Lamb of God guys immediately toss me the pink jacket. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, what? Like, what? Like, and they're like, what the fuck? You shit your pants, blah, blah, blah. I'm like so mad. Like, dude, you, like looking at my band, like, why did you tell them? You're not supposed to tell anybody. Like, oh, this is so embarrassing. They're all making fun of me and stuff. And they're a lot older than us. So I was so humiliated. And I'm like, man, this is so embarrassing. So I wore the jacket around for like an hour and I was just like, fuck this. I took this off. I threw it down. I'm not wearing the stupid jacket around. Screw you guys. You're supposed to wear this if you like messed up the tour. I didn't mess up anything but my pants and my clothes and my day. Like, this is not my, like, leave me alone. Don't worry. It gets worse. It gets worse. So after this is all said and done, right, we get through this day or two and we head back into the United States and we're playing a thing called the New England Metal and Hardcore Festival, which was like in New England. So we're here at this festival and it's being aired on MTV2, which was like a big deal at the time. They're playing live bands and stuff and music videos and stuff were still a thing. So Rob Zombie was there at this event interviewing bands live on MTV2 and decides to do an interview with 18 Visions, who was on our tour. And he's like, hey, 18 Visions, you know, I got a question for you. I know you're on tour with Lamb of God right now. Did anybody have a pink jacket offense? Oh, yeah, they did. One of the guys in Atreyu shit his pants.
Like, this is so ridiculous. Like,
why is this happening to me?
And like, got your MTV shirt on.
I got my MTV shirt on. Didn't either.
Don't worry. We won't tell anyone else.
Oh, yeah. Our drummer's dad called and was like, please tell me it's not you. And he's like, no, it was Dan. And I'm like, come on. Like, guys, just pump the brakes on this story. Like, leave me alone.
Oh, that's awesome. And now here you are. So you've come full circle. Shed all the stress. You've shared it on our show too.
Yeah, you're okay with it now. Yeah, I've had to make peace with it, you know.
Dude, you know what? It's a good thing you did it. Cuz it's a fucking awesome story. Ugh. I loved it. Everyone's told their friends the story too.
Yeah.
So it's out there. You're a fucking legend for shitting yourself. It's a great thing.
Yeah, something.
I like that. Made me nervous at a certain point. It gave me stress.
Because it's such a horrifying tale. And then don't worry, it gets worse. I'm like, where does it go from here?
What about you, Mike?
No.
I've
never shit my pants.
you're like Duddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're the unicorns.
I've shit on my belt line. So I almost saved the day. Yeah. Like Superman. Yeah. Oh, pulled him halfway down. So fuck, dude, dare we even go into a band? I mean, how do you top that?
Oh, I got some fucking.
Do you want to tell a good story?
Yeah,
we got a band stories. Camp episode.
Before we get into this, I just want to ask him one question that somebody wrote in for me. That's and right. I just have to know if you even understand this. And if
the car one?
Yeah, I want to know why. Joe Johnson wants to know if you regret selling your blue Chevy S10.
Okay.
Okay, there is something here.
I was like, what does this mean?
Okay, so I had Joe Johnson. We know him as Top Shelf Joe.
Okay.
Top Shelf Joe, that's his Instagram handle. He's probably the biggest Atreyu fan there is.
Okay,
he owns more Atreyu merchandise than anybody in our band. I mean, like, an amazing collection, even to the extent where he owns my old truck. I sold it to him.
Oh, that is amazing.
And I had this truck that was like the most ridiculous on the cover of a magazine, 1999 extended cab, lowered on airbags, S10, flames on it, the interior flames. Wow. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, it was unnecessarily ridiculous.
It was like on that, you know, Pimp My Ride show or something.
Straight up. One of the guys from Pimp My Ride did the lowering job on my truck.
There you go.
That's where I was at in my life. But it was one of those things I just like, it was just a money pit and I just kind of grew out of it. It was just, I started touring. It was just sitting in storage collecting dust. So I'm like, I just needed to sell it. I'm like, I got it rented. It's like, who would want to? Nobody wants. There's not a market really for that unless you live in like the Midwest.
Guy Fieri wants a truck.
Top Shelf Joe lives out there and is kind of into that kind of stuff. And you know, as being a fan, it was like the perfect combination. He's like, dude, I'll buy that truck. I'm like, dude, I'll sell it to you. So thank you again, Joe. That's much awesome. Appreciated.
Dude, well, great question. I'm glad that you asked that. Then,
but do you regret it though?
Yeah. No, I don't actually. I mean, I'm stoked because like somebody that actually appreciates it has it in their possession and is like babying it, taking care of it, putting even more money into it to like make it even cooler than it was. So it's like that's the perfect scenario for me. You know,
that's
like,
all you can want.
Somebody
could
just junked it or something, you know. So
when I was in high school, like one of my best friends in high school, remember Nick German?
Yep.
I remember he got his car. He was one of the first one of our friends like get his car, like get his own car, and it was a full lowered ass blue, and I think it was an S10.
Okay.
It didn't have the flames, but it did have like the purpley glowing lights underneath and like the just completely blacked out windows.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was probably very similar to yours, minus the flames, you know? Yeah. And like at the time, coolest shit ever.
Dude.
Coolest shit ever. When he rolled up, he's like, look at the ride I got. I was like, yes. Fuck yeah, I get to sit shotgun in that motherfucker. Yeah. You know, you're a freshman. You're like, this is the coolest thing ever. Thing. Yeah. So, all good.
It's fun, man.
Good. I'm glad I asked you that question.
I told Duddy too. I'm all, that's got to be a huge Atreyu fan. That's somebody that knows some inside shit about what cars people are. And it was the biggest, potentially.
Yeah.
And he owns that car.
I love that. So, sorry. I'm literally answering your text message right now. What a jackass.
Very professional of you, Daddy.
So
dude, we're winding it down.
He said he's got a great band camp
story.
Yeah,
this has been a perfect, great episode, and you have a gnarly story to go out.
I'll give you two options to pick from, because I have two pretty gnarly stories, and they both take a second to tell.
Oh, okay.
One is, do you want to hear the story about when I got in a physical altercation with Aaron Barrett, the singer of Real Big Fish?
Oh, there's that, shit.
Which is a weird thing.
Okay.
Or do you want to hear where I got held up at gunpoint at my condo?
Ooh.
I want to hear fucking
both. I know. I don't want to have to choose.
I mean, I can tell you both of you if you got time.
We got fucking time.
Yeah. Go. I'll tell you both. They're both pretty gnarly.
Let's hear it.
Well, I think I'm more interested in the Aaron Barrett one just because it's too, you know, it's another band that we know, yeah. But the armed gunpoint thing sounds so fucking intense. Let's hear Aaron Barrett first, okay. And then we'll end it with a near death experience.
Okay. Okay. So let me line up the characters in this story so it all makes sense.
And how were you guys? Two wildly different bands.
I'll explain. The whole thing is super strange. So it's myself, this buddy of ours, Scott, that toured with us, our tour manager, Joe, and these two girls, Cassie and Molly. Molly and Cassie were friends of ours. Molly in particular was, at the time, going through a divorce with Aaron Barrett.
Okay.
Okay.
The singer of Real Big Fish.
Singer of Real Big Fish. So prior to the story, we're going to go back a few months. We're on a couple-day festival thing we're doing out in Florida, and we were doing a signing at the time. And during the signing, it was backstage. Also on the festival was Real Big Fish. So Aaron Barrett, during this period of time, you know, going through his divorce, whatever, he was with some other girl at this festival. Him and this girl got stopped while we were doing our signing. They had to wait until we were done because of the situation, and then people were allowed to continue going. While this was happening, my buddy Scott, for whatever reason, because we know Molly and we know her friend Cassie and stuff, we saw him with this other girl. We're like, oh, we took a picture, just thought it was funny. Whatever, you know. Fast forward several months later, we're in Orange County and we're doing this this show that's a benefit to raise money for those huge fires that went around in about 2009.
Yeah.
It was, there's fires burned on like seven cities or whatever. It was this whole thing. So we got all these band members together to like collaborate and put all these kind of like super groups together and raise money to donate to people that got damaged from the fires. Right. So in doing this, the show comes to an end. It's like 2 a.m. Cassie's there, Molly's there, Joe's there, and myself and Scott are all there. All these people are there. So towards the end of the night, we're kind of getting ready to leave. And for whatever reason, Joe goes up to Molly and is like, hey, Molly, or he goes up, sorry. Yeah, goes up to Cassie and is like, hey, Cassie, did you ever see that photo of Aaron and that girl?
No.
I don't know why he even brought this up, you know? And she's like, what are you talking about? What photo? You know? And she's like, and Scott never showed you? And she's like, no. She's like, what photo? So apparently, there's one girl that, even though they're going through a divorce, there's one girl that he was not allowed to hang out with or something. At least this is my side of the story. I don't know. He's not allowed to hang out with one girl. Anybody else is fine, but one girl he has to stay away from.
She's so, all, not that bitch.
Yeah.
So anyone but her.
Right? So Cassie basically freaks out, goes to Scott, is like, Scott, you need to show me this photo right now. And he's like, what are you talking about? Joe said there's a photo, blah, 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 blah. I want to see this photo. And she's like, that. And like shows it to her. And she's like, oh my God, it's that bitch.
It's
bitch. So she goes and she tells Molly. And Molly, like, kind of, whatever. We don't know what happened, but Molly calls Aaron, has a little tiff on the phone. We don't know, whatever. So after that, we're like, let's go out tonight and let's fucking have a good time. Bars are closed. They're like, how about we just go back to our place? Molly's like, come back to my place. I need to stop by and talk to Aaron real quick, and we can grab a drink at my spot. We're like, all right. So myself, Molly, Cassie, and Scott all head back to his house, right? And he lives in this townhouse in Huntington Beach. So this is all local. So we go get ready to go in the house, and Scott takes off. He's like, dude, this kind of feels weird to me. I'm just going to leave. He had some girls he was talking to or something.
And you know Aaron's there, right?
In one way or another, right? Well, I didn't know yet.
Okay, yeah.
So Scott takes off, and we're like in this cul-de-sac kind of tight, weird area, kind of off Adams and Brookhurst. It's kind of
a downtown
area. Right there. There's a Ralph's there or whatever.
Yeah.
We're behind the Ralph's and those townhouses. Okay. This is where this all went down. So I go in the house, Scott takes off, it's just me and the two girls, and Molly goes upstairs, I make myself a drink, and I'm standing there, and like, even before we went in, like, they kind of let us know, like, just to let you know, like, Aaron's here, and he's not in the best mood, and I'm like, oh, okay, I don't know this guy or anything like that.
Yeah, you had nothing to really do with it.
I don't care, like, I'm just coming to grab a drink, they can deal with their own shit, you know? So we're in this place, it's two stories, right? So I walk in, I'm in the kitchen, you come through the back, we're in the kitchen, myself, Cassie are in there, we're making a drink. I got this big tall glass in my hand filled with a cocktail. And Molly's upstairs doing whatever. And all of a sudden we kind of hear like a little bit kind of like banging around. We're like, what the fuck is that? All of a sudden Molly comes running down screaming like, oh my God. I'm like, what the fuck? And she's like, he's fucking crazy, blah, blah, blah. Or saying some crazy shit. I'm like, what the hell? Aaron comes running down and he's got a fucking piece of wood in his hand, like a 2x4 with like a nail sticking out of it.
Oh,
and I'm like,
shit.
What the hell? And I'm a little bit intoxicated. So
that?
Everything
it's like
is
medieval
like
shit.
Medieval shit. So like he like ripped it off. It was like the binding on his like house, like at the bottom of your
the baseboard,
the molding or whatever,
yeah.
Like the baseboard. He like ripped it off or something. So they're still living together. Even they're going through a divorce. They're sleeping in separate rooms. Again, this is just as far as my side of the story, what I heard.
Yeah.
He comes running down the stairs and he's like, he goes, get the fuck out. And he just clears his fucking mantle above his fireplace, just takes a big old swing, just starts destroying everything.
Oh, no.
Like, I'm so like blown away that what's going on. Yeah, I'm just like standing there like, holy shit, this guy's losing his fucking mind right now. Like, what is going on? Then so Cassie fucking runs out the back. Molly runs out the front. He turns to me and he goes, get the fuck out. And he takes this big old baseball swing and hits the glass in my hand.
Holy
and it just explodes,
shit.
Right? So the glass explodes and I'm like, whoa, dude, like, what are you doing? And he comes up to me and he grabs me by the shirt and he starts pushing me out into his backyard. And I'm like, dude, like, I'm so like, what is going on right now?
Now it's sinking in. This is for real.
So at the time I took jujitsu and I was like pretty fucking savvy with it. So I'm like, I could feel the way this guy's grip was and stuff, the way he was pushing me and how his momentum was sending it my way. I'm like, I'm gonna fucking take this dude down, choke this motherfucker out right now, you know? So I start wrapping him up, and as I'm wrapping him up and I look down at my hand, I realize my hand is bleeding everywhere. And I'm a guitar player and I got a show in a week. And I'm like, I don't understand why I'm gushing blood everywhere. So I'm like, oh fuck. So I push him off of me and I run out the back of his house, out of this like yard, into this like kind of street where you can park and stuff, slash more townhouses. And I run out about 10 feet and I stop and I'm trying to like figure out what's going on with my hand because there's just blood everywhere. And I'm like, what the fuck? Why am I bleeding? Like I'm just cut like all over the place from that glass, you know? And I've been drinking, so my blood's thinned out. So all of a sudden he comes running back out of the house now. Now he's got a bat. He like switched to a more efficient weapon.
Wow.
So I'm like, oh my God. So
this guy's
off.
Got a video game cache.
Yeah. It was like Grand Theft Auto. Yeah, he just switched the bat.
He came out with a spiked baseball bat. What the fuck?
So now I take off running. This dude's chasing me down the street and I'm just fucking running like hell. And as I get around the corner,
he's a big boy, I think, right? Isn't he a tall kind of dude?
He's a decent-sized guy.
Okay.
So he comes running around. He's chasing me around the corner. I'm running like a fucking bat out of hell. And as I'm coming around, I see my buddy Scott is still out there. And he's on his phone texting, doing whatever. And I'm like, Scott, he's a fucking maniac. He just attacked me. You got to fucking go. Run, run, run. And I just zip by him. And he just kind of looks up like, what the hell? Because like, he has no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
And then he looks over and he just sees Aaron Barrett running at him. Just like fucking full maniac mode with a bat in his hand. God. He's just like, what the fuck? So I take off running. Molly comes running around the side. I see Molly. I'm like, Molly, what? How do we get out of here? She's like, I don't know. She's crying. I'm like, what the
mayhem.
Fuck? So her and I run. Keep in mind, this is like 3 a.m.
Yeah.
So we're running down the street. Her and I run to this house. We're banging on these people's doors like, help, help, help. Like, we don't know.
Strangers.
I don't know if this guy's got a gun.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. This guy's lost
his mind.
He's
obviously in freak out mode.
Full freak out mode. He's seeing her head. He's going nuts. So we disappear. And as we're banging on this, I ditch Scott. I mean, I just ran past him. And Molly and I are fucking trying to hide or whatever. So we're on this front porch banging on this random person's door, hiding on a cul-de-sac. Like we're cornered. So as we're waiting for a little bit, all of a sudden, like we don't hear anything. After about like a minute and a half, we're like, what happens? We stick our heads out and it's like, they're gone. Like both Scott and Aaron are gone. And we're like, what the fuck? So we come running around the corner and trying to get out there. And as we're running, we can hear sirens now. So somebody called the police.
Oh,
so
shit.
As we come running around the corner, cops come fucking burning out. And as they're burning out, Scott comes running around the corner and Scott has a bat in his hand. And we don't see Aaron anywhere. And we're like, what the fuck?
Oh,
now keep in mind a little side piece of this story. When Scott was there earlier, Scott left his ID at the bar. One of our other buddies left his ID at the bar. So Scott got his ID because that buddy was like, hey, can you grab my ID? Like, I forgot it. So Scott has somebody else's ID on him, has a beard, looks kind of like a bum.
Has a bat, has
$3,000 in cash on him because it was from the donation that we took the cash from the event.
All legit reasons.
He was like being a good dude. He was like the savior.
It just looks like a complete drug dealer scene right
now. Nuts,
here.
Right? So as he comes around the corner, the cops, you know, see him. They're like, get down on the fucking ground. And he's like, no. Like, I just stopped the bubble. They're like, get down. And he's like, what? And they like throw him on the ground and they're like cuffing Scott and we're like, no, not him. He's the wrong guy, you know? So I'm bleeding everywhere. They call a freaking ambulance. I have to take the ambulance to the freaking thing. I had all these cuts in my hands. My hands were all split open from all the glass in my hands and shit. Had to get stitches, you know? Like, I'm like, dude, I got a show in a week. Like, I can't fucking have stitches. So come to find out what happened was, when this dude came running around the corner, Scott, my buddy Scott, was a varsity wrestler.
Oh,
all right. This dude will kick your ass.
Yeah.
He's a little guy like me, a little bit taller, but stocky. He's like stocky, like wrestler. So this dude comes running at him and Scott's like, whoa, like don't, you know, attack me. And this one, I'm like hiding out trying to get away. So Aaron comes in full swing, takes a swing at Scott with the bat and hits Scott in the side. And Scott's like, whoa, dude, like you need to chill out. So he comes in, he takes another swing, hits Scott again. And Scott's like, dude, if you fucking hit me again, like I'm going to fuck you up. So Aaron comes in, hits him in the side again. This time Scott catches the bat and grabs him and shoots him for a double leg and takes him to the ground and gets on top of him and just starts fucking hitting him and hitting him, kneeing him with his knee as much as he can. Like, dude, let go. And he finally gets the bat away from him and he stands up. He's like, dude, chill out. And the dude comes at him again. So now fucking Scott's whacking him with the bat. Like, dude, get the fuck away from me. So finally the dude like snaps out of it once he's kind of like getting beat up. He realizes, like, oh my God.
What am I doing?
He starts, like, crying, essentially, and runs away and jumps over the wall and hides behind a dumpster where that Ralph's was. So finally, the cops finally, you know, once they got there, whatever.
This is just the singer of Real Big Fish.
It's insane. No. It's so wild.
I think he's going to come beat your ass.
So, yeah, how? Story, dude. Oh, yeah.
Guess so they're not coming on the show.
Yeah.
They're going to start knocking on the
door. I hope so. I want to hear the other angle of this whole story.
Yeah. Dude, so, you know, end of story. The cops find him and they're like, hey, Scott, you know, we need you to identify this. Like, you be sure this is the guy. He's like, yeah, it's the singer of Real Big Fish.
There he is.
Exactly
that's
who
him.
He is.
Checker, you know, like, he's got checkered pants.
That's
the guy.
That's him.
Yeah. His fedora on the grass over there.
And that's crazy because, like, I mean, their music isn't it very positive?
Positive, like, you know. You would never think. And everybody that I know knows him says like he's the greatest guy. Yeah. You know, like, as far as I know, he's probably a very lovely guy. Him and all his passion.
Bad night.
Had a bad night. You know, I happen to be in the middle of it for some reason. Just got full attacked, you know?
Yeah, wow. Basketball crazy. Yeah, soundtrack.
I still have scars on my hand from it. And I still have, like, little dots and shit from the whole thing. I had this brace on my finger. So I was walking around, like, just pointing at people all the time. Like,
yeah.
Dude, luckily it got better. I was able to play the show a week later, dude.
I love that. What happened to your hand? Singer Real Big Fish.
Fucking attacked me, dude.
Yeah. What?
Who? Yeah.
Oh, fuck, I think
you got the wrong band.
Jeez. And then...
All right,
and
final
then you
story.
Were held up at gunpoint?
So, end story. Okay, this ends it. This happened in the same year. This both happened in 2009.
Did you have good press charges on him, by the way, or anything?
I tried to serve him. Like, it took me over 2 years, and I just eventually gave up because he was, like, just dodging me, you know?
Wow.
You know, so I was like, whatever. Like, I'm over. I don't even fucking care at this point, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
now whatever. It's just a great story.
It's just a great story. I got a great story out of it. My hand, nothing, tendons got fucked up or nothing, you know? I was like, whatever.
I hope that he hits us up for his side. I was in my house minding my own business. I was jumped by, have you heard of Atreyu?
Yeah.
And Atreyu? Yes.
You know the guitar player Dan, right? He's crazy.
One of them came in with a bow and arrow.
Yeah. He came in with a hatchet
swinging. Yeah. Chainsawed. Both hands.
Oh my God. He's one of them was a wrestler. I took him down immediately.
Yeah. Okay, so 2009, I'm living in my condo at the time. And you know what's weird is as far as like aliens, weird conspiracies, weird, the way this, everything about this lined up was too perfect. It was just too weird. Like, for instance, at the time I had a chihuahua that was living with me, but that night he wasn't staying at my house. He was staying at my mom's.
Okay. Like, I had a chihuahua that was living with me at the time. Paid rent.
Yeah,
paid
rent. I had this chihuahua.
He
had him for
jobs.
18 years and like half of his life.
A little buddy.
His name was Ralphie. Ralphie lived with me for half my life and I started touring a lot. So I kept giving him my mom more and more. Yeah. Actually, my mom just kind of adopted him. At this particular time, he was still kind of living with me most of the time, but I had him over at my mom's. He was basically like an alarm. If somebody walked up to my door, he'd start barking and going nuts. This one night, he just wasn't there randomly. On top of that, we had a couple people over. My brother did, at least. He had our singer Alex's brother, who was at the time, like a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. We had this other buddy of ours who was a police officer in training. And my brother, the three of them were hanging out on the couch, drinking beers, whatever. They had a sliding glass door open to my front porch, which we never have open. We don't usually have people over or have that front door open. It was just like weird coincidences.
Just a random night.
All these dogs not there, sliding glass doors open, all these things. So I was in the studio at the time in Woodland Hills, and I'd just gotten back at like 10 o'clock at night, and they're hanging out there, and I was going to barbecue. So I'd stop by the Ralph's by my house. I got some food. I get out of my car. I have my guitar in one hand, my food in the other hand. I go in through my front door, which is right next to the sliding glass door. I come in. I see all these guys are hanging out. I walk in. I put my guitar down, and I go behind my bar/kitchen area, which looks out over my living room into the front door and sliding glass door patio area. I'm there for maybe 2 minutes. I'm just getting my meat out, whatever, so I can fucking barbecue.
Start queuing.
So as I'm doing this, all of a sudden the blinds kind of start kind of rustling around, and I look up and this guy comes in and he's got a bandana around his face. Wow. And I kind of stop and I'm looking at this kind of thing and I'm like, that's weird. And I kind of look over my brother and all his friends. I'm like, do you guys know who this guy is? And another guy pushes in behind him, and this guy, same mask over his face, has a gun now, and he just points a gun out and starts pointing it at us. And we're like, huh, is this real? Like, what the fuck is this, you know? So all of a sudden they're like, all right, everybody get on the fucking ground right now. Get on the ground right now. And we're like, what? I just stand there. And they all get up and start getting on the ground because they're like,
Wait, what?
Like, what is this, you know? So they start getting on the ground. They're like, all right, where the fuck is it? Like, where the fuck is it? Where's the stash? Where's the safe at? We're like, the safe? I'm like, what are they talking about? Like, I don't have a safe. Like, I don't even have anywhere to put a safe. I live in a two-bedroom condo. I'm like, the fuck is this guy talking about? So one guy comes over to me that has the gun. He grabs my arm, and he pulls me over, and he pulls me down on the ground. I'm like, fuck, like, what the fuck is going on right now? So one guy is like looking around trying to find the safe and asking us where the stash, where's the coke, you know, where's the drugs? And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I don't have any coke here.
Yeah.
I had a bong sitting out, you know, but like I didn't have any
like,
fucking.
Like, take a toke if you want.
Yeah, dude. I was like, I don't have any drugs here. There's no safe here. Like, does this guy think I'm a drug dealer? Like, I had like a really nice place and I'm there during weird hours, you know, I'm being a musician. Maybe they thought something weird.
Yeah.
And so these guys, they start taking our phones, start breaking our phones.
Oh, shit.
They start taking our cables out of the wall from like our phone cables and they start tying us up. Took my belt off, tied me up with my belt. So we're all laying on the ground, getting tied up. They're just the whole time, one guy's going around the house with a gun trying to find shit. The other guy's just breaking our phones. Like, they had this whole plan. I'm like, of course, like I said, my dog's not there randomly. Like, all this stuff is just going down, no problem. Like, what the hell? Like, so they eventually are going through our house and they're kind of asking all these questions, like, you know, where's the safe at, man? I'm like, in the bank, man. Like, I'm not a drug dealer. I think you guys have the wrong place. Like, I don't have any of these things you're looking for. They're like, you guys need to be paying your taxes, man. You need to be paying your taxes. And what I've ever heard, if you get tied up and people start saying this shit and they have a gun, you usually get killed. Yeah. You know? So we're like, dude, is this how I'm gonna fucking die? This is like, I didn't even, like, what did I do to deserve this? You know, like, I'm not a drug dealer, you know? So eventually the guy upstairs is like, dude, I think we have the wrong place, man. I think we have the wrong place. And after a bit of this, and they fucking took all our shit, they took our wallets, we're like, we know where you fucking live, blah, blah, blah. They were like, all right, we're out of here. If you guys fucking move, like, we're fucking, you're done, you know? So we're like, okay. So they leave, and then like 2 seconds later, they open the door to make sure like we haven't gotten up. And they close the door and then they like take off. Now we have no way of calling anyone. My phones have been unplugged. My phone's been smashed. We don't know what to do. We can't call the police or anything like that. So we just get up, we get all our shit, and we jump in a fucking car and we drive to homeboy's house who's gonna be a police officer. We were like, dude, he's got guns there. He's got whatever. Like, we don't know what to do. We're terrified. Yeah. Call the police. Like, 25 cop cars show up at my house. We come back. They're kind of like, whoa, like, who are you guys? What are you doing? We're like, no, like, we're, you know, this is my place. They're like, why did you leave? Or I'm like, we're fucking terrified. Like, I just got held up at gunpoint by some guys that thought I was a fucking, I got tied up in my own place, you know, like, what the hell?
Just wrong
thing. Nothing after that. Never heard from these guys again. No, didn't know who they were, where they came from. If they were like watching me. Like, no clue what was going on. Oh, the strangest, creepiest thing.
So random.
So random. Some guys were like scouting my house, knew at the perfect time when to come in and fucking like raid my place when my dog wasn't there.
I'd be like, I gotta move tomorrow.
Yeah, dude. I couldn't stay there for about a good week. I just slept at friends' houses. I was so scared. Like, so terrifying. Like, when your privacy, like when your security is like broken like that, you're like, my safe place is not safe anymore. Like, where do you go that's safe?
Yeah. If you're not safe in your house with just a bunch of your buddies.
Yeah seriously. You
know? Who are like, because at the same time, what is that guy? If that gun wasn't real, we could have fucked those dudes up. There was two of them, four of us. I was very well trained in jujitsu. Another dude trained in jujitsu. My brother also trained in jujitsu. A guy who was a police officer in training. Like, if we would have been like, oh, that gun's not real, we would have fucked those guys up. We could have choked those dudes out, had them fucking tied up ourselves.
2 seconds.
No problem. But like at the same time, like, I'm not going to take that risk.
I'm not going to take the risk.
I don't know if the other guy, because the guy that had the gun was upstairs. We could have jumped the guy who didn't have the gun and been like, we got your fucking guy down here. Like, you better fucking drop your gun or we're just going to fucking take him out right now or whatever. Yeah. Crazy mafia shit we would have ended up in. But it's a lot easier to say that stuff in the moment.
Oh, you know?
Or afterwards, I should say.
You're thinking too, these guys are crazy enough to just walk into someone's house with four grown dudes in there. So they're obviously nuts. This is something that they do.
Yeah. Not gonna fuck with this.
No. Nah. Wow, dude, that's a scary zone story almost. You might have to throw the music under that one.
I will. I'll make that a freaking mashup of Bandcamp Scary Zone. I'll mash it up.
Dude, what an episode.
That was great.
That was super fun.
Yeah.
So hell yeah, thank you guys so much for coming and hanging out with us. I don't know. Let's plug everything on the way out. I guess first of all, like Atreyu, obviously people know Atreyu. You guys have been around forever.
Atreyu Official is kind of our thing for anything. If you go to AtreyuOfficial.com, that's our website. If you go to Atreyu Official, that's our Instagram tag or whatever handle. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Twitter or any of those things. Yeah. Atreyu Official is usually the safe way to find anything Atreyu related.
Right on.
And you guys got a new album dropping.
New
soon,
album.
So
who knows when?
Yeah.
Probably later this year, next year. I don't even know. Yeah. Like, you know, who knows?
Who knows?
But new music in the works. I got, you know, Rock World merchandise. Uh-huh. If you need merchandising needs, that's what we do. You
Any
know,
bands or
yeah, yeah, screen printing and, you know, bands or whatever. Yeah, fulfillment, Rock World fulfillment. We got plugins, of course, with Mike and myself, where if you want the coolest key hanger, hanger in the world, or as we like to say, if you want to hang your keys like a rock star, yeah, go to either thejackrack.com or plugins with a Z, keychains.com, and treat yourself.
Heck yeah, dude. Yeah.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax tip and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.